Say goodbye to feeling drained. Recover energy, restore focus, boost body and mind performance naturally. Millions of us currently live a fast-paced 21st century lifestyle, struggling daily with sleep, stress, and feeling sluggish. Modern living takes a toll, especially as we live, work, and play in heavily polluted environments. These stresses have been shown to interfere with the body's natural functions, declining our health and well-being, leaving us feeling drained. The Good Mood Co. combats feeling sluggish with a high-quality, affordable supplement pack. These packs are especially useful to those who lead busy, tiring lifestyles, including career-driven individuals, exhausted parents, and socially active partygoers. Just 3 capsules a day to boost overall body function, taking a sleep, gut, and brain health approach to wellness. Containing 36 plant-based ingredients, a daily dose that offers so much more than a typical diet and store-bought multivitamins. We need long-term solutions, not quick fixes, and focus on within is a great place to start. Please visit the website www.thegoodmoodco.com, Instagram, here, the number 4, Good Mood, Facebook, here, the number 4, Good Mood, and LinkedIn, The Good Mood Co. When you go onto the website, if you use the code EAIAN, then you'll get a 10% discount when you pay on orders over $14.99. All right, you beautiful people. How is it going? Tuesday, the 17th of August 2021. August is flying past. I will go and grab my book. I should have been more organized. So I am recording this episode on Sunday night. What episode are we on as well? Episode 60, eh? The big 60. Which is pretty, pretty mental, if I do say so myself. That we've got the 60 episodes. It's pretty crazy. I hope that your Monday was everything that you hoped for. I hope that you change your perspective of how Monday goes, because there's no such thing as bad Mondays, just the way that you look at it. So I hope that you went into Monday with a clear head and actually didn't think it was bad. You've had an absolutely amazing one. Tuesday, exactly the same. I have been... this weekend has been pretty mental. Absolutely mental. It's been pretty busy. And today, being Sunday, I went up and saw my eldest. We took a rock around, a walk around Loch Naboo, which was pretty stunning. Hopefully I should have a video getting posted up pretty soon. I need to do quite a bit of editing today. I've got, as you know, I've got the GoPro now, so I have been, I've been doing some videos. I've been doing like it's called Time Warp on the GoPro, and it's a bit like a time lapse, but it's not as fast, but then it speeds it up, and yeah, it's been really, really good actually. I got a video of me and the lovely woman in my life. We walked up Benahee on Friday. So I got a video of us coming down from Benahee, in the super fast motion. We had her dog with us as well. She absolutely loved it. It's a bit of ropey coming back down again though, with the dog pulling you. And you're trying to make sure that you're not falling down. Yeah, to watch that you're not falling down the top bay. But yeah, it was absolutely amazing. It was so windy up at the top, but I've got like about a minute video of from the GoPro. I've done like about a 360 spin, showing all the sights. It was absolutely amazing, actually. It was really, really cool. And it was mental that you could see Aberdeen, and you could see the sky, the high risers. I stay just next to the high risers, so it was pretty mental thinking that that was the flat, or my flat was just right next to that, and we could see it from there. It was pretty cool. I also pointed out a house as well that you see. It's the Daviot Estate, and I pointed that out, and then we were actually out with Daviot on Saturday, having a look at the Lone Headstone Circle around there, and we drove past it, and then we were having a look at the huge houses out that way in the Daviot Estate. They are absolutely stunning houses. I mean, you go there and it's just like how the other half live. And one day I will have enough money to own a house like that. But it was absolutely stunning. And then we went and saw the what's it called? The Brandsbot stone. Just in the centre of Inverurie. Just behind the co-op, and that one's pretty amazing because you can totally see the carvings in the rock, and to think that that's been there for years and years and years, I think they had to piece it together. Let's have a quick look. I do have the laptop up open. Brandsbot Stone. So the Brandsbot Stone is an excellent example of an early Pictish stone, a 1 meter high slab of dark whinstone. Its face is incised with a crescent and a V rod above a serpent and a Z rod. Its carvings are dated to around AD 600. But the stone may have originally stood as part of a prehistoric stone circle. And that is just, it's in like a housing estate basically. But yeah, that one's pretty fascinating because you can totally see the drawing. And the writing on it as well. My sister's got her tattoo. She got her my nephew's name in autumn, is it? Just a second, then we'll quickly check. Because I texted her yesterday. Ogham. That is what she's got, and that's what the writing is on it. Oh, just have a look at this as well. So Occam writing is an early medieval alphabet used primarily to write the early Irish language in the Orthodox inscriptions 4th to 6th centuries AD and later the Old Irish language. Scholastic Occam. There are roughly 400 surviving Orthodox inscriptions on stone monuments throughout Ireland and Western Britain, the bulk of which are in southern Munster. The largest number outside Ireland are in Pembrokeshire, Wales. The vast majority of the inscriptions consist of personal names, according to the High Medieval Brathygram. Names of various trees can be ascribed to individual letters. The etymology of the word Ogham or Ogham remains unclear. One possible origin is from the Irish Ogham, point seam, referring to the seam made by the point of a sharp weapon. So there we go. It is generally thought that the earliest inscriptions in Ogham date to about the 4th century AD, but James Carney believes its origin is rather within the 1st century BC, although the use of classic Ogham in stone inscriptions seem to have flourished in the 5th and 6th century around the Irish Sea. From the philological evidence, it is clear that the alphabet predates the 5th century, a period of writing on wood or other perishable materials prior to the preserved monument inscriptions needs to be assumed. Sufficient for the loss of the phonemes represented by youth in strarif, the manuscript traditional probably F from SW represents the velar nasal NG in the manuscript tradition, but etymologically probably GW, all of which are clearly part of the system but unattested in inscriptions. It appears that Ogham alphabet was modelled on another script, and some either consider it a mere cipher of its template script. The largest numbers of scholars favors the Latin alphabet as this template, although the elder Futhark and even the Greek alphabet have their supporters. Runic origin would elegantly explain the presence of H and Z letters unused in Irish, as well as the presence of vocalic and consonant variants U versus W, unknown to Latin writing and lost in Greek. The Latin alphabet is the primary contender, mainly because its influence at the required period, 4th century, is most easily established, being widely used in neighbouring Roman Britain, Britannia, while the runes in the 4th century were not very widespread, even in continental Europe. In Ireland and in Wales, the language of the monument stone inscriptions in terms primitive Irish, the translations to Old Irish, the language of the early sources in the Latin alphabet, take place in about the 6th century. Since Ogham inscriptions consist almost exclusively of personal names and marks possibly indicating land ownership, the linguistics information that may be glimpsed from the primitive Irish period is mostly restricting to phonological developments. But then I've seen it a few times. There's some stuff in Inveruri as well. One of the the Bronze Butt Stone, it's got it on there, but then they've also got it on some of the pavements. I only know this because we thought that there was a leak behind it or underneath it, so they had to rip it up. But yeah, we went there, and then we also went to Daviot Stone Circle, which is pretty amazing. The Lonehead Stone Circle, it's pretty big. What's that saying? The Lonehead Stone Circle is one of the best examples of a monument type known as a Cumbermint Stone Circle. These monuments are only found in the northeast of Scotland. They're defined by a ring of upright stones with a massive stone slab laid on its side between two upright pillar stones, usually in the southwest arc of the circle. Lonehead Stone Circle is a complex funerary and ritual monument with a long and varied history of use, which likely began in the late Neolithic period. We also went and saw Maidenstone as well. But we went and saw that on Friday. The Maidenstone is a 3 meter tall cross slab of Pictish granite dating to sometime after AD 700. It's a sculpture delight bearing both characteristics Pictish symbols in what may be a biblical scene. Plenty of local folklore exists around the Maidenstone. One tale has it that the stone was once a maiden who lost a bet with the devil. As she fled, the devil turned her to stone. Another says it's a memorial to a young woman killed as a result of a dispute between two families. And that is pretty, pretty amazing that is still around, basically. It's absolutely mental. I would love to go down and see Stonehenge. But the fact that we've got this on our doorstep, basically, is absolutely amazing. And I mean, to also think that they done, like, the fort that they done up at the top of Benahee is fascinating. I mean, when you're walking up, it's almost like stairs going up. It must be man-made. It's totally man-made. Let's have a read of this as well, then. So yeah, the Mither Tap Hill Fort. What is it saying? A stone fortification that involved over many centuries. Mither Tap Hill Fort may have been founded as early as 1000 BC. Consists of inner and outer defences, at least 10 roundhouses and possibly also a hall are believed to have occupied the interior. The Battle of Mons Group S, AD 83, may have been fought on the lower slopes under the fort. So Mither Tap was built upon one of the four summits of Benahee, possibly occupied as early as 1000 BC. It was over 500 metres above sea level and would doubtlessly have been a fairly bleak residence for most of the year. The defences, which evolved over time, consisted of inner and outer stone ramparts. Both were over 7 meters thick, with evidence of a parapet walkway on the lower outer wall, which may have been replicated on the inner defences. The entrance consists of a hornwork, an Iron Age version of a medieval barbican. A number of roundhouses seemingly existed between the inner and outer ramparts, and a square structure, perhaps some form of hall, was built in the centre. A well was dug into the lowest point of the hill fort. The only reliable dating of the structure comes from analysts of charcoal remains, which suggest occupation between AD 340 and 540 and AD 640 to 780. Respectively, it is uncertain, therefore, whether the fort existed at the time of the Battle of Mons Group S, AD 83, where the Roman army defeated the Caledonian tribe, which was most probably fought on the lower slopes of Benahee. A local legend suggests the hill fort was used as a hiding place by Alexander Forbes, Lord Forbes of Pitslago. He had fought with the Jacobites forces at the Battle of Culloden, and after their defeat went on the run. Following his visit to France, General Horne at Logie Elphinstone, he justified a bout of heavy drinking on the harsh conditions he had to endure on Benahee. At some point in the 19th century, the Maiden Causeway was built connecting the fort with the lower slopes, probably to enable the stone to be removed to support other building projects. This work may have been conducted by the squatters who started to live on Benahee around 1801, attracted by the rent-free land. This changed in 1859 when three landlords whose retrospective properties coverage at Mithertap imposes tariffs on it. The granite block on the summit of the fort is marked with the initials of the three estates, Balaquin, Pittodrie and Logie Elphinstone. But it's absolutely insane to think that like the amount of stones that are up there as well, like how long it would have taken for them to take that up there. So what's there? Although the rampants of this once mighty fortification had been reduced to tumbled stone, the remains of Mithertap Hill Fort are hugely impressive. The Barbican entrance is a rare saviour, with the views of the summit are breathtaking. Benahee. Mithertap Hill Fort was situated on the distinctive Benahee mountain range. The name Benahee derives from a Gaelic term, either Ben-na-chi, Hill of the Breast, perhaps a reference to the hill fort, or Benacath, Hill of Battle, a reference to the Battle of Mons Graupus, which was probably fought on the lower slopes of the mountain. So the rampants of the fort have largely been reduced to vast piles of hornwork. The hornwork entrance to the hill fort acted as the equivalent of a stones, but the general layout of the defence as well as their scale can still medieval barbican be appreciated. Then it's got like the views and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. Took us 2 hours and 15 minutes to get up and down, which wasn't too bad considering that it said they would take us 2 hours and a half to do it, so we came down in record time. But as I said, I've got a video up on my TikTok just now that is of us coming down Benahee, so I am going to see if I can edit that and get some music onto it, and then I'll post it up on my Instagram and some other stuff. And I've got some video of me driving through Scotland, because I was up seeing my eldest today and he stays up near Fenachty. So I've got my drive from Fenachty all the way into Aberdeen. So I want to get that little bit edited. Sorry. That little bit edited. And then I want to try and get some music to it, because there's no sound or anything. So I want to try and get some music to it. And then get that posted up. Maybe even add a few bits of like the walk that I did with my eldest around that Loch Naboo. Get that sorted. And then edit it all together and then get it up on YouTube, because that's what I said that I was going to do. I was going to get some videos up and put up onto YouTube. Just haven't had enough time. See, trying to get onto the laptop at night time, I still need to do my Amazon idea for making money. I still need to get that sorted. I was going to do that tomorrow, but I've got my youngest tomorrow from like 11:30. Well, tomorrow for me, yesterday for you listening to the podcast. Monday. I've got my little boy on Monday. Or had him on Monday. So I've got him, so I'm not going to be able to do that. I need to go in and see Seafine today. and hopefully find out when I can start volunteering in there. So next week's gonna be busy, busy, busy. Just getting stuff sorted out, and hopefully having some more content to talk about. I think I want to start getting some more people on the podcast as well, because I'm thinking that that would be pretty good. Just write this down. Football season kicked off this weekend as well. Man United had quite a good win, and Arsenal got beat. Sorry, Jason. But it's pretty dire straits for Arsenal right now. The mighty Liverpool beat Norwich 3-0. Norwich had a not bad game actually. I watched the match and they weren't as bad as they weren't. Yeah, they gave us a good game. Sorry, I've just eaten and my stomach feels all bloated and I've been driving all day, so I'm absolutely knackered. I think I'm gonna go and run a bath very soon, and yeah, soak in the bath before I go for my run. Hopefully, try and get those videos edited while I'm in the bath, and then get them up on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and all those kind of stuff, because. Because that's the kind of stuff that I'm wanting to do. But yeah. It's been a. Yeah, it's just been busy. I don't even know what else to say, to be quite honest. So just remember to. Remember, love big, be happy, appreciate the small things, be thankful for what you already have, and stop focusing on what you don't have. Remember, the aim of the game is to find happiness from within yourself. And once you find it from within yourself, then it starts getting a hell of a lot better, believe me. I can absolutely guarantee that. Go and start doing the things that make you happy. And stop doing what society tells you to. Right. I will speak to you soon. Peace and love as always. Ciao.